Good morning. Welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning here as we are going to reminisce about Kroger. And the way we're going to do that this morning is talk to Terry Leach. Hello, Terry.
Good morning, Mr. Doug. How are you?
Good. Glad you came in today. You know about Kroger, and there's a reason you know about Kroger, and we're going to tell people that in a few minutes. But first, I want to introduce people in this community that are not from here to the Leach family. Tell us a little bit about your dad and your mom and where they came from and how they even got to be in Nicholasville.
Sometimes my dad would wonder about that himself. My dad was Ned Leach, and he was born in Frankfort in September of 1919. And he was the fourth of six children. His dad was a barber in downtown Frankfort, down in the hill when you go down there on Ann Street. And they lived there over the barbershop. And he went to Good Shepherd School. And so then he was about seventh grade. They got a little farm out in the country in Bald Knob. I don't know if you've ever been to Bald Knob.
I've heard of Bald Knob.
Bald Knob is just a lovely spot in the road.
Yeah.
Lots of hills. Looks kind of like Eastern Jessamine County, you know.
Yeah.
Pollard and, you know, down and all that. So that's kind of where it was. So he went to, from that point, they went to Bald Knob to school. And he graduated from Bald Knob High School. He was valedictorian of his class. I think they were probably 15. Loved playing basketball. Now, they played outside basketball. And, of course, this is on these little hills.
Right.
So if the ball went out.
Yeah, you better not let loose of that ball.
The ball went out. It was down the hill. Somebody had one of the younger ones. Yes. He loved ag and he loved math. And he wanted to be a school teacher. So he went to Eastern for a year. Got to back up a little bit here. When he was about six, he got hit by a trolley car.
Really? In Frankfort?
In Frankfort. Wow. And was dragged not only once, but twice.
Oh, my goodness.
You'd think you would do better than that. But anyway.
Two different times. Two not different the same times. Day.
No. And he was in the hospital for a while. And his big problem was that he had damage to his ear.
Yeah.
So he was deaf in one ear, which made him, about the time of the war, he was 4F. So because of that, he always had problems with that ear, with hearing. And so when he came back after going to over to Eastern, and of course he had saved his money and worked at it, but he would just decided that probably wasn't going to work for him. So came back, started working in the grocery business.
Well, let me ask you and stop you right there. Did he ever think, and sometimes this happened, especially years ago, did he ever think about being a barber? I mean, you know, his dad was a barber. Was any of the kids barbers?
His older brother.
Yeah.
He had two older brothers. Well, this is really sad, but he had his oldest brother, Harry Thomas, was 5 years old, and he was kicked in the head by a horse.
Well, these kids just had a hard time, didn't they?
They were really pretty clumsy,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
So Uncle Harry was always 5 years old. And believe it or not, loved horses. He was the oldest, but was not able to, you know. So my next uncle, Grover Cleveland Jr., became the barber.
Okay.
So he was in the barber. My next one was Aunt Martha, who I'm named for, then Daddy. And then he had his sister, Mary Eileen, and she was married to Chester Goins, who was an A&P manager for 40 or 50 years.
Boy, there's a name I hadn't heard for a long time, the A&P.
Yes. And he was, we always laughed about them being the gypsy family, because when you're a manager in a store like that, you travel around a lot.
Yeah.
So he was in Versailles and Paris and Richmond, and they lived over in Harrisburg, and then they moved back to Lexington, but they were around a lot. But
so was it that connection that got your dad into the business?
I think it was. They were all starting to work in the grocery business.
But now, did he start in Frankfort?
He did. He started in Frankfort. And then they're opening and opening occurred. And he wasn't even with Kroger at that time. But this opening came up, and it was in Nicholasville.
With a Kroger store?
With the Kroger store.
Okay. Now, was the Kroger at that time, the one that's located across,
it's right
from,
where your office
right
is.
Right where the circuit clerk's office
yes,
is.
Yes, right.
That was the Kroger. Now, what year would that have been?
That would have been in 43, I think.
So he found out that there was an opening.
Well, he was offered this job.
Oh, he was offered the job.
He was offered the job.
Moved to Nicholasville.
Moved to Nicholasville.
And manage?
To be the manager.
Of the Kroger on Main Street.
On Main Street.
And he thought, why not?
Sure, why not? He was going home just about every weekend because he was really attached to family and, of course, all these situations being with his dad and all that. But anyway, he lived at Walker Hotel when he first came here.
What about that? Now, for those folks, and we have to do this on this program, you know that we have a lot of listeners who remember these names.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of listeners who don't. This is an education for them. The Walker Hotel, ladies and gentlemen, set on the corner opposite the current Nicholasville Baptist Church. And it's also across the street from the building which we refer to as the old jail, because it was. It's catacorner to Town Square Bank. So maybe that helps you know. Now, the current building, it doesn't look like it did when it was the Walker Hotel, but it is occupied by an attorney, Bruce Smith, I think, now. Mm-hmm. And it is a building on the National Historic Register,
too. Right, it is.
So he lived in the old Walker Hotel.
And I think they had several people. I mean, there really wasn't any place to rent.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, right.
And so they lived there.
He wasn't married yet.
No.
A single guy.
Still a single guy. Mm-hmm. And so he lived there, and we'll just kind of stop with him and go to my mom.
Sure.
My mom was Mary Loretta Aldridge, and she was born in Jessamine County in 1923. Uh-huh. And she had an older sister, Pauline. Her parents were Freeman and Gertrude Boland Aldridge. And Pauline died when she was about two, from whooping cough, before mom was born. Then she had two younger sisters, and that was Nellie and Monica, and they lived in Jessamine County, and my grandfather was kind of a day laborer.
Yeah.
He worked, you know, up to the Schneiders, to the brick mm-hmm. factory, mm-hmm. and did all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. So, but they lived different places, but they eventually lived at 224 East Oak Street. Now, that's where I remember going to visit grandma and granny and granddaddy. And mom worked at different jobs, you know, had girls, kids, and she graduated from Nicholasville High School.
Yeah.
And she graduated before it burned. And she worked at Kroger. And that was a good job back then, you know, working at Kroger. They, you know, they made pretty good money. And she worked herself up so that she was kind of the head cashier. So here comes this guy from Frankfurt.
So they obviously didn't have a policy against inter-office dating, because he comes in from Frankfurt and there they are.
Well, their dates were group things, I think.
Right. Back then, most mm-hmm. people's were.
Yes, that's yes.
Right. You knew it was serious if you went by yourself.
Well, yeah, sure. Uh-huh. And Dad had a car. You know,
that was an added bonus.
That was an added bonus. Yes. So they would visit, they would go out and do things like mm-hmm. that. But they dated for 5 years before they got married.
Wow. While mm-hmm. working together over here.
While working together over there. So mom had quit her job.
Yeah.
But that was okay.
Yeah.
They rented a little cabin at Fred Johns's. Now, I don't know if you know this.
I remember Fred, but I don't know where you're talking about.
Okay. Well, it's Nicholasville Florist.
Okay. One of the cabins that there's still two or three sitting behind there now.
Right. But they had several cabins and people rented those.
Yeah.
And Buddy Curtis' family lived in the house upstairs.
Okay.
Of course, Buddy and I weren't born by then. But anyway.
Right.
And they had different people. And I'm not really sure who else lived there, but that's where they rented one of these little cabins.
And they're really small cabins.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these folks, if you've never seen these. And I don't know that Bobby Garrett would mind, but sometime drive behind Nicholasville Florist and see what we're talking about. I think there's one or two.
There's two, I think.
That's still there.
Mm-hmm, that are
but
still
they're
there.
Really, yeah, they're really small.
They are very, very small. Uh-huh. And they rented that, and they got married at St. Luke's on mm-hmm. a Tuesday, September the 14th, 1948.
Wow.
8 o'clock in the morning.
They had to go to work, I guess.
Well, he did. Well, they were not going. No, they were taking day off. They were getting a vacation, but... Yeah. The Kroger store closed that day, did not open that morning. And so after the mass, after the wedding, mm-hmm. everybody went to work.
Okay.
And who was there but Mr. Denny, I think his name was Mr. Denny, who was the district manager. Knowing full well, he knew what was going on.
Okay.
He didn't come to the wedding, but, you know, he let them know that he knew that they hadn't opened the store that morning.
Wow.
So they always told the story about Barney Kroger. They didn't even close the store on the day of his funeral. They didn't close this. So they were, you know, pretty hard-hearted, people.
Right.
But anyway, so mom and dad got married in September, and they were still in the old store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that old store, I've got a couple of stories I want to tell you about that. But anyway, I didn't know it. But it was the old kind of timey thing. People would come in on Saturdays, and they would park downtown, mm-hmm. and they would stay there all day. And they would do their shopping, and they would visit. They might go to the picture show.
Mm-hmm.
And those places had things like, you know, 25 pounds of of flour and sugar, and more of a kind of a general store thing. They didn't have a cash register back then, and they would, well, maybe they did, but it was an old-fashioned one. So they would write everything on paper and then add it up, and so they knew their math skills, you know.
Well, and back then, I would probably think, because it was a farming community, we probably carried tabs for some farmers, but till their tobacco sold, and they, you know, maybe for the whole year they'd carry a tab. So, yeah, you had to write all it down and keep good records of that.
Right, right. So they would stay open till 10, at least, on Saturday night. And then, of course, they were closed on Sunday. Well, one of the problems Daddy learned when he first came here was that he was told about the water problem, about the flooding problem, and that was because of the town branch.
Right.
So that first block between Oak and Walnut, you know, we had the town branch that is just a little jewel. But anyway, there were rats. And so there were rats at the Kroger store because, lo and behold, you've got food and flour and sugar.
Right.
So there were problems. And so one day, Daddy, that Saturday night, took his car to the back and he turned it on and they piped in the exhaust.
Into the store.
Into the store. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard the name of Miss Steinbach.
Yes. Okay. She owned a department store, her and her husband.
They lived there. They and there was a couple of steps there. And, you know, like the clothing, the shoes were in the back.
Right.
And it was all
right.
Okay. So anyway, Miss Steinbach was kind of, could be a little bit difficult sometimes. So that next Monday morning when she came to work, lo and behold, all of those dead rats, or not all of them, but a lot of them had made their way over to Miss Steinbach's. So, of course, she came over. Mr. Leach, Mr. Leach.
She didn't know how I. Is that right? She just showed up and there they were.
There they were, yes.
Oh, man.
So she told Daddy that he needed to come over and get rid of those rats. And he told her that was just a gift. But I think, hopefully, I don't remember what he said after that, but I'm hoping that he did go over there and take care of the rat situation that was over there.
That's funny.
But anyway, that was one of his stories that he used to tell lovingly. Now, the problem was that Kroger was improving, and Kroger was kind of, sorry for you folks, I brought a visual aid. It's a picture of Barney Kroger, who had horses and a cart and went around at the beginning to sell groceries to people. And I think other places did that too. There was the tea company, Jewel Tea Company did that. But anyway, Barney Kroger was from Cincinnati, and he took all in 1883, he took all of his life savings, which was like $230 or something, and he opened a grocery store up on Pearl Street. And so he, at that time, was trying to make a go at it and ended up doing pretty well.
Sure.
Then he decided, well, he could probably, if he made, you know, they were buying groceries and bakery goods, bread from people, and they would, then he decided he would go into the business himself. So he did that. He started then by getting more cabbage from the farmers. So his mother would then take the cabbage, make sauerkraut. And then he realized, you know, there's, this food processing is pretty good. So if you go to a Kroger store, you're going to see most of their, a lot of their select products, you know, groceries, and they do everything now. I remember hearing that what he did was he took the product that was the most popular, and then they, in their test kitchens, would try to emulate that product. So that's how they were able to, I think like 26% of their profit now is from their own private labels.
And they were, I guess, the first to do that.
I think so. Yes, I think they were. So technology's changing, although we probably didn't call it technology then, but they needed to get a bigger store. And so what they did, and they, by the way, and I think this is still true, they never purchase their store. They lease the property. So they get somebody else to build it, then they lease it, usually for like 20 years or whatever. So they went down, or somebody went down and started tearing out the sections of Main Street where the Farmer Square is now.
Right.
In fact, Farmer Square was the Kroger store.
Yeah, because there used to be buildings in there. I can remember in those buildings, Rob Hardware, the Jessamine Beauty Shop, Marilyn Welch and Vetus and her grandmother Marietta had that. I'm trying to remember what else.
There was a Dr. Durrell who was a chiropractor.
Okay.
There was the White Spot.
Now, I've heard my dad mention the White Spot. That was just a little,
just a little hole in the wall.
Hole in the wall where you can buy a hot dog. And
the best hamburgers going, of course, what everybody told me. I don't know. I wasn't there. But anyway, so that was, they took a lot of that in out. And they built the Kroger store that's there. And at that time, it looked like all the other Kroger stores around.
Well, now, let me ask you, when you look at Farmers Bank now, Mm-hmm. If you look at the front of Farmers Bank, immediately to the left is a parking lot.
Right.
And then immediately to the left of that is that little strip of buildings.
Right.
Is that the building the Kroger was in?
Yes.
That building there.
That building.
Which now is a number of little offices.
Right. They turned it around when Farmers Bank bought it. They moved it, kind of redesigned it.
So that's where Kroger moved to.
Correct.
From where my office is now.
Right.
All right. Uh-huh. When was that?
It was about 1950. I think in January of 1950, they moved, opened the store.
Okay.
Now, if you picture that, it was orange brick, and the opening door was over by Frug Price's service station.
Yes, which is on the other side.
It's on the other side. It's on the corner.
Right.
You walked in, and it had a door in and a door out.
Yeah.
And you remember that picture that I gave you that you've got on Facebook?
Very modern.
Right. That was, yes, it was very, very modern.
Yeah.
Very, very modern. They had their own produce. They had I don't know that they bought the produce from local people,
right,
but they had their own meat cutters and they had all of the stock. You know, now it's more processed food than it was those 25 pounds of flour and sugar.
Yeah. Back then you baked your own bread. You didn't
buy
a loaf.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least
that's
not a lot.
That's right.
But now at that store, because I remember those pictures you gave me, did you tell me, wasn't that kind of the first store that used shopping carts?
Right.
Because that was a new thing.
Right.
You went in and waited on yourself.
That's right. And there was a little corner there that had a kind of a raised platform. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the office was.
Okay.
And the manager and the head cashier they had lots of paperwork they had to do manually.
Yeah.
But you could see out over the whole store.
Yeah.
But the big thing about that at that time, Doug, it was cash and carry.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Was no more carrying accounts.
No more carrying accounts at that time. Now, that was hard on farmers because they were used to the old Kroger. They were used to the other stores. And that was good for some people, but it was also, it brought in a new technology, the wave of the future. This is what's going to happen.
So this is when your first cash registers came along where the cashier had to punch in the price.
That's right.
And that kind of stuff. So I can imagine that the opening of the new Kroger in our town in 1950 or so, probably helped businesses of the other old grocery stores that were already here.
Correct. Because you had Cumley's, Heathman's, all of those people. And there was either a Miss Ethington had one on the block behind where Town Square Bank is now. But a lot of the people that were working there, you know, you probably remember their names, you know, like Edna Groh and Robin Lanham, who just passed away recently. There was a Frances Smith was the produce lady. Then there was a Charles Collins' mom, Mildred.
Mildred
Lane.
Yeah.
Daddy always called her Annie. Now, she didn't know why he called her Annie, but he always called her Annie. And I think she probably reminded him of his cousin, who was an Annie.
Well, earlier this year, we did a program with Becky Garrett.
Right.
About her dad, who was the meat cutter, right?
Right. Dub Hunter was in the meat cutter. Stanley May was a meat cutter. And Don Cravens.
Yeah.
Those were the three that I remember.
Yeah.
Now, produce man was Raymond Cook.
Cookie. Gosh, he worked for Kroger for a long time.
He did. He was, you know, funny, just really, really funny. And then Letcher Watts. Now, I don't know if you knew Letcher or not, but you know his daughter.
Well, Letcher, didn't he go on to open the appliance store?
Yes, he did.
Down by where Town Square Bank
was,
right next to Heathman.
Right, yes, it was.
Carolyn's dad.
Carolyn Throckhill's dad. And there was also John LeMay, and that's Jesse LeMay, who has the antique over there. So those were some of the people that worked there, and they were, you know, they were the integral part. You know, they had their own aisles, and they might be in charge of the tide or whatever that, you know, whatever that was, the product would come in the back door.
Now, did your mom ever work there again?
She worked, yes, she did a couple of times. She worked there. She came in and helped out when they opened the store.
Yeah.
And then after Dad left, she came back and ended up working for 35 years at Kroger. So,
well, why did he leave?
Well, you know, I think it was this part of this hearing problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then district managers were always on them to make more money.
Yeah.
And that was kind of one of those things. And I'm not sure, nobody ever said that, but the union came in mid-50s or so. And I'm sure that was part of the
changes whole. Changes things a lot.
Changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a minute to talk personally about your dad.
Oh, okay.
You know, a lot of people knew Ned Leach that are from here, remember him from Kroger. Tell us, for those that didn't know him well, what kind of guy was he? How do you remember Ned Leach?
Well, I remember my dad as loving his family, but he loved church, and he loved sports.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he had three daughters. So,
and before you go on, I think it's good right now at this point. We'll don't lose your train of thought.
Okay.
Let's talk about those three daughters. Okay. I like to mention them. There's you.
Me.
And you, a retired school teacher, taught to Jessamine County, I guess, all your career?
Well, believe it or not, I taught for 3 years in Northern Kentucky at a private girls' school at Notre Dame Academy.
But most of it was here.
But most, 27 years here in Jessamine County.
And tell us about your other two sisters.
My middle sister is Donna, married Donna John. She married Bradley Johns, and she is a retired school teacher also. But she has four children, Chris and Audra and Andy, and then Mary's the baby. And she moved over, she and Bradley moved over in Wilmore, and they live in Wilmore now. And then my baby sister is Ann, and I've got to tell you this story. My dad decided, my mother said, that they decided that if they had girls, Daddy would name the girls. And if they had boys,
she would.
She would get to name the boys. So I'm named Martha Terry Leach for his older sister, who was Martha Frances Leach. And she married a man whose last name was Terry. So they inverted the name. So everybody thinks my name is Teresa. It's not. It's Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, for a last name. Yeah. Donna was named Mary Donna after his cousin who became a nun, and her name was Sister Mary Donna. And Anne, when Anne came along, Dad decided she needed to be named for somebody in Mom's family. So he chose my grandfather, whose name was Freeman. So Anne was Anne Freeman Leach.
And I don't know that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting her.
Well, she lives in Harrodsburg, and she's married and has three children and works for the phone company.
Okay.
So she was the only one that took my grandmother. My grandmother worked at the phone company when it was
Right up next to the street from us here.
And she was an operator and loved it, and told us all when we graduated from high school what we needed to do was get a job with the phone company. So Ann took her idea. So she's got three children, and Donna's got the four. So we have, you know, like 15 grandchildren.
Lots of kids running
around. Lots of kids. It's lots of kids. It's great. It's great.
So your dad had, he loved sports. He loved
church. And he loved the family.
And he loved his family, but he had three girls.
He had three girls. So Donna was the one who became a PE teacher. She was PE. She taught math. She was a librarian. She did all kinds of things. But mainly she was PE and loved sports. And she was always playing sports. So she would, she played basketball, the girls' basketball team, with Leonard Cavell.
Really?
And yes, Cavell. There were Mr. Cavell, God love his heart. And that back then, they could only be on half court unless you were the rover. And you could bounce the ball three times, and then you had to you dribble and pass. So they played on Saturday night, or Saturday afternoons or mornings. And so Daddy would be out there, you know, rooting Don on. She said that, well, this is an aside, but she said that Leonard Cavell was the best coach she had ever had. He taught them the basics, and she really appreciated that. So she went on to UK and, you know, got her PE degree. Anne loved to watch ball, baseball. Daddy loved the Cincinnati Reds, and he loved the Cleveland Browns. So you didn't get a chance to watch anything else if it was on. And, of course, the ball games were, he was listening to the Reds on the radio usually. That was kind of my dad. He really liked sports. And at a time when he was older, we had a church league that played, had basketball for the young teenagers, the boys. They had the church softball league. So Daddy became the person who greeted people when they came into church. And they always would tell me, you know, your dad was so friendly. And I said, you don't understand. My dad was looking for recruits. So he got lots of people were playing on that in the league. And we played, they played, the church league played softball where the bus garage is now.
Okay.
And as Mr. Billy June Warner told me, they took the best softball field we had and they brown, you know, covered it over with asphalt.
So, he was a good softball
player. Yes, he was. Oh yeah, he was. He was, and he was with Nicholasville Christian. So they were, we were kind of arch enemies there.
So the status question that I usually ask in all my programs, I'll ask you now. One word, how do you describe Ned Leach?
That's hard. I wish you'd tell me you were going to do that. I think he was honest. Probably have to say that, maybe loving and I think and friendly.
Yeah. What about your mom? Same question.
My mom was dependable. She was the quiet rock behind Daddy's being very affable. Mom was right there. Now, I would bet you that if you talked to Rachel Arnold, she would tell you something else entirely about her when she was at Kroger. But yeah, that was kind of interesting thing.
Ned, I had the pleasure of knowing him, and I've told you this story before, but Ned seemed to be, from what I knew, he pretty much told you like he thought it was.
That's right.
He didn't seem to mince words very much, at least when I was around him. Maybe he was, I don't know if he did it.
No.
Was it pretty much that way?
No.
The story that came to mind, and I've told you this, is when I ran for county clerk back in 1989, he told me one day that he would be for me. Well, I didn't win that race, but then I decided to run for city commissioner in 1993, and I never will forget, and I know where exactly where it was. It was in McDonald's, when it's the first McDonald's we had, where is now the utility building for Nicholasville.
Mm-hmm, right.
And he looked at me and he said, I'm going to tell you something, Doug. He said, I was for you when you ran for clerk, and I'll be for you running for commissioner. But if you don't win this time, don't ever ask me again to support you. Thank goodness I won, so I knew I had him. But he just flat out, there it is. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I knew where he stood.
Right.
And right. He just seemed to be that kind of guy. You didn't have to wonder. He wasn't mean. He was nice about it. But you knew where the man stood.
That's right. That's right.
That's a good thing. Did he really, really like Kroger?
He loved the people.
Yeah.
But the pressure from the management got onto him, and he just one day just kind of said, I think I'm going to quit.
And that's it. Well, but the thing that we have to know about Ned Leach is that he brought it into what, in 1950 or so, he brought it into the 20th century, if
right.
you will.
Mm-hmm.
He was the head of the store that came out of the past and brought it into what, even though it's changed, what we kind of know as the modern day grocery
Correct.
Stores.
Mm-hmm.
And one that a lot of people, I'm sure, remember in this community. You know, our time is up, but we appreciate you coming in, telling us this history about him and how the Kroger's operated here. And days gone by, you know, there's certain things mm-hmm. in our lives where you probably wish we had it back the way it was.
And you're right.
That's kind of one of them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's one of them. Because now, unfortunately, our town doesn't have, even though we have a Kroger, we don't have that local grocery store like we used
right.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
For those that can remember it, even me a little bit of how it used to be, it's a shame we don't.
Right.
Thanks for coming. We'll have to
Glad
have you. We're going to have you come back sometime. We'll talk school.
Oh, okay. That would be fun too, wouldn't it?
That would be probably, we'll have to edit that program a lot.
Probably so.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Terry Leach, for coming in and being with us today on All Things Jessamine. We appreciate you telling us all about your dad and the way it used to be here in Nicholasville. Folks, we do this every Saturday morning. It's called All Things Jessamine, and we certainly hope that you will join us at 11 o'clock on those days so that we can share more information with you. It's all for you right here on Jess FM 105.9.